powered by Reb Media in partnership with TSN. It is season 5, episode 75, playoff edition, Stanley Cup playoff edition of the Ray and Drake's Hockey Podcast, presented by your title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey. Hey, have you tried the Canadian Club Ginger Ale, a crisp, refreshing alternative to beer? It's well-balanced with flavors of ginger and subtle notes of rye and spice. The new formula has 30% less sugar, 20% fewer calories. Canadian Club Ginger Ale, it is delicious. Home, Ray, you're home, I can see. I recognize that backdrop in beautiful BC. Yeah. Anywhere.
Really?
So I can tell.
That how it goes, eh? That's how it goes. That's how you're starting out, are you? You know, for those listening, you know, we've run into a little bit of a salty Drager this morning because he's on day 2 of travel. Oh, he's tired and pissed off that he had to sleep in a hotel bed. Are you okay, yeah. Darren? Are you okay?
No, it's not. It's not that. I appreciate the fact the Oilers push this to 6 games. Nobody wanted a sweep in the Stanley Cup final. But you're right, it is a selfish mood because I go from Edmonton back to Toronto on Saturday, spend 10 hours in Toronto, then fly to Florida, I guess it would be Sunday morning in preparation for Game 7. And then it gets even more complicated for me, Ray, because immediately following Game 7, I'm on a JetBlue flight out of Florida to Vegas for the start of our coverage of the draft in Las Vegas.
So, you know, I'm going to join
some selfishness here.
I'm going to join the group of people that are listening to this right now. And you know the old line, you've got me confused with somebody that gives us.
Yeah, I get that.
A damn. So, because one thing people love to do is listen to us that work in the media complain about our travel. Oh, you know what? And then I had to connect here and they don't care. Just go, bring the energy, Drakes. As our good friend Darren Pang says, bring it to the people. Bring it to the people.
There's been a lot going on. Filling headlines today on the podcast is not going to be a challenge. I'm going to let you make the editorial decision before I read our Tim Hortons plug here for headlines. Do you want to start with the series, the Stanley Cup final, or do you want to start with the news of the week, which was a couple of significant trades, right? Markstrom to New Jersey, PLD, shockingly, to the Washington Cap. Where do you want to start? Would you prefer the series or the non-series trade?
Let's go with the non-series. We'll knock those out.
Okay.
Because it's it was pretty shocking stuff to have happen. You know, it was kind of out of the blue. Maybe it wasn't for you, but to me, I was like, oh, would you look at this? Oh, and look at that. You know, so let's do that, and then we'll get to. Yeah, will we have time to talk about Connor McDavid? Do you think we can squeeze that in? My goodness.
Let's squeeze that
in. Yeah, unreal.
All right, it is time for headlines brought to you by Tim Hortons. Cool down with your favorites for less at Tim's this summer during their first ever happy hour. Treat yourself to select $3 medium iced lattes flavored cold brew every day from 2 to 8 p.m. for a limited time at Tim's. Okay, well, we'll talk about the Markstrom trade because that's certainly one of significance, one that had seemingly been laboring on for an extended period of time. Well before the trade deadline, we know that New Jersey and Calgary had been talking about the possibility. There was a deal essentially done that would have sent Markstrom to New Jersey at the deadline, and it fell through at the last minute. Markstrom had waived. He was ready to go. It didn't pan out. So they rekindle the romance of late. You know, so I'm going to get specific here just to bring you into my world. So what's today? Thursday. That deal happened yesterday. So Tuesday, I'm going back and forth with a source with the Devils. And I said, hey, anything to update on Markstrom? Like, we know Tom Fitzgerald was looking at other options, right? Dealing with Boston, the possibility of Linus Ullmark. So I said, look, anything new, anything fresh with Calgary? Nope, nothing. And that was Tuesday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. And then you fast forward and the deal breaks Wednesday morning. So I go back and I'm like, well, what happened? How did this come together so quick? And literally it did. So Tuesday afternoon, both sides kind of got working on it and basically finished it up Tuesday night. Markstrom's over in Sweden. So there's that time zone delay, and he couldn't sign off on it until yesterday morning, Wednesday morning. So it all worked out. What do you think of the deal? I mean, Kevin Ball, we don't know what he is yet, right?
Yeah, we do. He's a giant. He's a giant.
He's a big dude, right?
Huge man.
Left shot D. Yeah. So you know that Calgary is in that market for defense, and they'll probably add another piece or two. And they get that first round draft pick from the New Jersey Devils. Calgary Ray, as you know, now has 6 first round picks and counting, but 6 right now over the next 3 drafts. So good deal for Calgary, and the New Jersey Devils get a goalie that they desperately need.
We'll start with the Devils side, and I'm interested because, I'm interested for lots of reasons, because there's 2 glaring pieces that the Devils are missing, and now they've fixed one of them, right? Like, Markstrom's a quality, top end of the league goaltender. Like, wherever you want to put him in your rank, he's certainly in the top half of the league, right? Like,
agreed.
They're trying, you know, Akira Schmid and Nico Dawes and Vitek Vanacek, and finally they patch it up with Jake Allen. And but if you're going anywhere, you need, you know, for a team that's trying to take that jump from playoff or from non-playoff to playoff, your goaltender has to be not one of the part of the equation. And they fixed that. The other thing I think they still have to address is they're not very big. Take a look at the teams that play, and they're playing later and later and later in the year. And certainly look at the Oilers and Florida. They're big. They're big teams. Yeah. They really are. And so I think there's got to be some balance in there, but that's for down the road. So I like it from the Devils' perspective. No matter what Calgary says about we are in a competitive place and we want to be a playoff team, you just laid out why they're in a rebuild spot. 6 first round picks, right? Like, you either use them all or you start using some of them for collateral. But those picks take time. And, you know, it's not going to be immediate. Now they don't really have a goalie that, you know, but that's okay, because you've got to start replenishing what they don't have. And they got thin. They got thin pretty quick. And teams do it all the time, man. You're just trying to stay competitive. But I like it. I like that they got the first round pick in particular. I think Ball can be a 4. I think that's where I think that would be like where you would like to target him to be. But if he becomes a third pair guy and can play in that spot for you, which he can, like you just fill the ice up with a guy that's really pretty mobile and hasn't even really touched what he's going to be yet. 2 things about the timing. There's always this talk around the deadline, and teams, don't they always say, we'll revisit that, we'll touch back on that. And deals that you kind of forget about that were talked about 3 months before, they just fire up again. It's one phone call to say, hey, do you want to, right? Like, that happens quite a bit. The second part is, for the teams that might have also been linked for them, you mean they couldn't come up with a package like that? They didn't have something to compete with that?
Yeah.
And that I found that curious. I mean, eventually Tom Fitzgerald and the Devils have to decide. I mean, this is the best package that we got back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, you know, there's talk around Ottawa, talk around Toronto. And again, Markstrom held the control, but man, you'd think that they would have been in that ballpark.
Yeah, I think he was intrigued, Markstrom, that is, by Toronto. You know, maybe less so with Ottawa, and you're 100% right. I mean, with his no move, he wasn't going anywhere that he wasn't comfortable going. But this is interesting, Ray. So last year, when they basically had the deal hammered out, it was one team that Markstrom was willing to consider, and that was the New Jersey Devils. That's where he wanted to go. Markstrom and his agent, Pat Morris, decided when the deal fell through, okay, well, maybe it's in our best interest to allow Conroy to expand, to have conversations with other clubs. We still control the process, right? So he can talk and negotiate with anybody he wants. At the end of the day, we're going to say yay or nay, and the deal will go through. So I know there were trade conversations with other clubs, and I think Ottawa was really eager. You know, to what degree with pieces, I'm not going to do that. Toronto didn't really feel that they were really in it at any point, but they definitely were trying and had interest. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And look, the Devils aren't done yet either, right? Like, Fitzy has acknowledged, as much as you talked about, you know, them needing to get a little bit bigger, tougher up front, he wants to add a harder-nosed defenseman as well. Like, when you think of that, like, if Chris Tanev stays in Dallas, which it seems like he likely will with an extension, I mean, who comes to mind, an experienced hard D-man?
Well, Nikita Zadorov, Brendan Dillon. So it becomes interesting because teams will look. If you're a player, you only need two teams to look for you. That's whatever you might be. You just need two teams. And I know when I signed in New York, I was a free agent, and I signed in New York. I'm in Dallas, and I was talking to Dallas at the time. I was, you know, they were showing me around there, and I get a call from Steve Bartlett, my agent, and he says, "Don't agree to anything in Dallas." He goes, "I've got the Rangers negotiating against themselves." Because Dallas, I guess, had already told Steve, okay, this is our last offer.
Yeah.
And so whatever, the Rangers felt that there was somebody else involved. And I ended up, that's how I ended up in New York. And
that's good work by Mr. Bartlett.
Yeah. But I always remember I was in Dallas. Do not agree to anything. You know, it still might have ended up being Dallas.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said the Rangers are negotiating against themselves. So, there you go.
Speaking of good work, how about the work of Rob Blake sending Pierre-Luc Dubois to Washington for Darcy Kemper? Now, who knows? Like, is Kemper going to be the answer for the Kings in goal?
Probably not. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Kemper's adequate. To be as a starting goalie. So you're going into the season, unless things change, with Darcy Kemper and David Rittich. Those are your goalies.
Unless the Linus Allmark rumors won't go away. Does it make sense that LA finds a way to acquire Allmark and one of those two guys goes back to Boston as a serviceable piece?
Well, the Bruins only need they need a placeholder because they have a kid in the American League, Boosie, that they really like. He may not be quite ready. I don't know that, but Jeremy Swayman's their guy, so the one thing is, as we get into free agency and the trading season, the Bruins aren't far away from being pretty good. And I mean, they were already good, but what if they can put Ullmark in a deal that brings them back something of what they really need? They need some offense. They need a centerman. Yeah. But the centerman, they've been linked to Elias Lindholm, and while he's not a 80-point top of the chart, he kind of feels like a player that would fit in Boston. But Boston will be interesting here in the next few weeks for sure.
For sure. All right. Well, Pierre-Luc Dubois, nobody had this on their radar. I mean, there was lots of speculation around what is LA going to do with this guy?
Yep.
You know, the notion of a buyout had been lobbed out there. I was told yesterday by King sources that buyout was never considered
too costly.
Way too costly. And, you know, really it came together pretty quickly. And I don't know who initiated, whether it was Blake or Brian in Washington. I don't know, but it came together basically Wednesday morning. That's how it came together. And it comes together before Dubois' no move or no trade clause kicks in on July 1st. And, you know, as we reported, according to Pat Brisson, Pierre-Luc Dubois is very excited to get to Washington. What does that tell you other than lip service? You know, he's not going to come out publicly and say, "Jesus, I didn't want to go to Washington." I want, he wouldn't do that. Although I was told that when Winnipeg was trying to drum up a market for Pierre-Luc Dubois via trade, Washington wasn't a place that he wanted to discuss at that point. So it is curious that now all of a sudden it's a fit.
Well, I just told you the story about how I signed with the Rangers. And, you know, I signed with the Rangers for 4 years and I spent 7 months there. You know, he signed with LA for 8 years and he spent 8 months there because he made it to the end of the year. I don't know. Look, I see why, just like everybody else sees why Washington would be enticed.
Yeah.
Big, physical, you know, can produce in that 70 to 80 point range, can skate, blah, 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 blah. He's like somebody, man or woman, that's been married for the fourth time. After a while, maybe it's you.
Yeah, it's four, another new start.
Yeah, it's four teams in 8 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so like maybe it is you. Maybe you have to find out whether you love the game or you like everything else about it but the games.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you that guy can be a difference maker. But what makes Washington think that they're the place? But they must have something, right? They must have something that they think this is the place he's going to flourish because he's got all of it. But here's the thing from LA's perspective. Don't forget, they traded Iafallo, Velarde, Kupari, and I'm missing something else. Was it a second round pick, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So they traded four pieces for Dubois. So really the trade is those four pieces for Darcy Kemper. Costly.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Blakey is going to be able to do some shopping.
Well, I mean, they cleared the 7 years of money too, right? So,
yeah.
Ooh, that's a big deal, man.
I just love how, and look, it's going to get a lot busier once they hand out the Stanley Cup and you know, teams are then purely focused on what's going on leading into the draft, and that'll be a lot of trade activity. So more of what went down on Wednesday. I don't know if we're going to see bigger trades like that one, but we're going to see activity. There's no doubt about that in the days ahead. But
let's get to the best stuff now.
Here we are. Yes, it is Thursday, and we're getting ready for game six tomorrow in Edmonton. And for you, it felt like after game four, when the Oilers in that must-win just trampled the Florida Panthers, that game five, as ridiculous and as obvious as this sounds, was pivotal in the sense of a momentum shift. So if Edmonton could win back-to-back, maybe they flipped the script on the series. And it kind of feels that way, doesn't it? It sort of feels that way as we brace for game six.
I think almost everybody that you talk to will say, in the playoffs, momentum doesn't carry game to game. I think most everybody would have that view. But all of a sudden, the things that were plaguing Edmonton, we're not really talking about so much. Now we're talking about a whole bunch of different stuff with Florida that hasn't gone so well in games four and five. I assume we're starting with McDavid?
Sure. Why not? Logical.
Okay. Of the many reasons I'm really privileged to do the game at ice level is to watch him at ice level. It is, I ran into Chris Johnston from The Athletic just after the game. And I said, hey, can you give me a quote or something on McDavid? We were just talking about McDavid. And I said, like, the difference between McDavid and the very best players in the game is so obvious. I mean, like, we're not talking about middle of the road players. We're talking about the best players in the league. What he can do, other people just cannot do. So you can't stand up on him. You can't back up. Well, where do you go?
Yeah.
Like, the watching him play, and I had a GM tell me after the game that from around the league that the will that McDavid plays with, like, I mean, the speed and all that's very obvious, but the will makes him a different character altogether. Like, if he didn't have that will, it wouldn't quite look the same. I'm going to say, Dregs, I was trying to think, and I know I hate doing this because I know I'm going to totally miss on this, but I think of the game Mario Lemieux turned around Sean Chambers in against Minnesota. I think a mess, Mark Messier's guarantee game in New Jersey in game six. I'm trying to think of playoff games that I would, in my NHL life, that I would say I put in a special place. Connor played one of the greatest games I've ever seen in game five at this time of the year, of the importance of it. It was the 4 points, yes. It was the energy, 25 minutes. It was the plays he made coming back into the zone, back checking. One time he came back and just deflected a pass away, or there was going to be a you know, a 15-foot shot on net. It was everything. It was so impressive. And when he comes back to the bench, his eyes are like locked. He is so zoned in. It is a remarkable thing to watch him right now. He's at I'm going to say this, I'm probably wrong. He's at the very peak of what he is. And I saw a stat yesterday. He's got more points now in the playoffs than Pierre-Luc Dubois had last year in L.A. The guy's got 42 points. Guys are thrilled with a 42-point season.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to watch him play.
And when you have effort and execution like that, you know, we often talk about how certain players can drag you into the fight, right? Well, there's many different ways of how that looks.
Right.
You know, that's not just physicality, hard on the forecheck, getting involved in scrums. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the game. I understand that. But there are different ways to describe getting dragged into the fight. And I guess I'm trying to make the segue to how the game of Janmark and Connor Brown and Adam Henrique, that third line and primary penalty kill unit for the Edmonton Oilers, has elevated their game, right? Yep. And certainly game four and five. I mean, they've set the tone. They have. And maybe that in some way, Ray, is a byproduct of what McDavid is doing, but it also allows Connor, you know, when you get those two shorties back-to-back games early like that, that sets the tone. I don't know if it takes the pressure off or it increases the will that you described in McDavid to, I'm not going to let this go. I'm not going to miss this opportunity.
Well, the shorthanded goals are unbelievable, really. You know, Janmark in game four and Brown in game five. And I think of the Mike Tyson quote, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And in games four and five, the Oilers punched the Panthers right in the face. And with those shorthanded goals, man, they knock you back on your pants, and you're like, man, we just had the power play. We got a chance to take the lead. And I'll tell you who, like Janmark, you know, $1 million signing by Ken Holland in July, and he goes kind of unnoticed most of the year. He's, you know, he's banged up, had a shoulder thing, but he's a really dependable player. Mm-hmm. And as they've, you know, Chris Knobloch's had like 700 line combinations in the playoffs, and he settled on these three veterans, and they've been really good together. Henrique has had injury problems. He's got a lower body that he's kind of dealing with, but he scored a big goal in game four. The guy I want to focus on is Connor Brown, because most of Oiler Nation has kicked that guy around most of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't score a goal for 45 games. Like, I get it. But here he is at the most important time of the year, and his smarts, his penalty killing, he's chipping in a little bit of offense here. Scored a beautiful goal on the shorthanded spot the other night. But man, I'm sure at times he must have felt like, I can't do this anymore. This is ridiculous. I can't play.
Yeah.
But he's never given up on it. And I'm happy to see guys that are able to dig through the mud and become a player like this. Here's the crazy part out of this. So we've talked about McDavid, and again, it's just, you can't talk enough about his brilliance. It's just, it's amazing. We've now talked a little bit about the depth. They've won games four and five. They've got one goal from Nugent Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
nothing from Draisaitl, 2 assists in game 4, but nothing in any of the other 4 games. Zach Hyman's got 1 goal. It was a slap shot that hit him in the knee and went in the net. Like, there's kind of another gear here.
For sure there is.
For Edmonton. And by the way, I'm going to throw this in. Since there is no video, Zach Hyman's power play goal the other night, that was exactly how my first NHL goal was.
Was
exactly. Ray Neufeld took a slap shot, but his hit me in the left knee. I was on the other side of the net, and it went in the net. That was it. But there's no video. But that, as soon as it went in, I was like, hey, that's how I scored my first goal. So anyways, I think it's a really cool place for Edmonton to be. Why would they feel any pressure? They were dead 5 days ago. And now, all of a sudden, no matter what Paul Maurice is going to say, people will start in the Florida world, start thinking about history. Yeah. And history is not kind.
42.
Right?
42.
And they're like, it can't happen. It never happens. It wouldn't happen. Oh, boy, if we lose in Edmonton.
Until it happens.
Yeah. And so this is a really, really cool part of the series right now.
I want to get your take on the goalies in just a moment, but you bring up Paul Maurice. And Paul Maurice has been this bubbly, thoughtful, educating voice throughout the playoffs, not just the Stanley Cup final, right? You know, he's jabbering with the media and poking fun at this guy and that guy, but still in the process giving very deep, thoughtful answers to all of the questions, right? Post-game 5, that's as rigid as Paul Maurice has been, maybe in his time with the Florida Panthers. And as that game was going, and look, I mean, there was some push in Florida. Florida had nothing in game 4. I got a text from Ken Hitchcock, who basically said, again, he kind of reiterated what he said on as game 4 was unraveling. He goes, Dregs, Paul Maurice is about to face the toughest challenge of his coaching career.
Right.
And that's finding a way to just stop it and to get certain guys like you mentioned some of the players on Edmonton's side that, you know, just haven't found it yet. Well, I mean, Matthew Tkachuk was really, really good
last half in game.
Last half of the game. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, Reinhardt hasn't been able to contribute. Bennett had good looks, but couldn't put the puck in the net. Barkov.
Verhaeghe has not scored since game 1.
Yeah.
And hasn't been a threat. So how does,
if Hitch is right, and this is the toughest challenge of Paul Maurice's career, what's the biggest challenge? And how does he stop this momentum flow here all of a sudden?
Well,
get those guys going.
I think the players would notice if all of a sudden Paul became a different guy. If he became, if he started answering questions or talking to the team in a different manner, they would know that. Like, it's not like a game or a slump in November where you go, all right, guys, this is freaking ridiculous. Let's get to work. Like, that's not what it is. You've handed back 2 games, right? You're now in a different spot. Everything about your prep, your travel, you know, the day of the game is all going to feel different because history is there. I think that, you know, like we've really given Chris Knobloch, a lot of bouquets in the playoffs for the for the moves that he's made, both in game and in between games. Excuse me. In the middle of game 4, or sorry, in the middle of game 5, it's 4-1, or 3-1 rather. And nothing is happening for Florida. And Maurice made 2 major changes. He flipped Verhaeghe and Rodriguez. He has always said to us in our little meetings, for whatever reason, there's a lifespan of Verhaeghe and Barkov together. And when it goes south, he goes, they'll be great for 8, 9, 10 games. He goes, I don't know what the number is. He goes, but they'll be good together, and then I got to break them apart, and I put them with Bennett. He was great option. Well, the other way wasn't working. The Bennett, Verhaeghe, Tkachuk line was getting nothing done. So they flip Rodriguez onto that line. Verhage goes with Barkov and Reinhardt. And boom, Rodriguez scores right away. Edmonton makes it 4-2 on the Perry goal. Tkachuk makes it 4-3. And all of a sudden, it went 3-1, 4-2, and then Ekman Larson scored off a Tkachuk pass to make it 4-3 in the third period. That was one move, and it worked. He took Montour off the power play and put Ekman Larson out there. And then Ekman Larson had a really good game. Now, will he do that again in game six? I don't know, but he made a couple of in-game adjustments that hit. So you have the same players. There's nobody to call up. There's nobody to insert in the lineup that's going to change the deal. What they have to look at is the last half of the game they played. In my opinion, that was their first touch of Florida Panther hockey in the series. Panthers hockey. And Edmonton couldn't handle it. Now, some of it, Edmonton had a 2-goal lead and they were defending. But then it was 1 goal for 15 minutes and Edmonton was under siege. And I thought, well, if they don't get this back, that's what you have to hang your hat on. Now, you have to hang your hat on something. And Maurice can't be like whistling in the dark like there's no problem. Hell, all of a sudden there is a problem. I mean, and part of the problem we're going to talk about next, I'm sure, and that's, there's been a lot written about goalie Bob. Well, goalie Bob better shut the door. He better.
Yeah, it's not. Edmonton's not getting out goalied anymore.
Nope. And did you notice the one play? It was a little slow deflected shot, and Bobrovsky went to poke it in the corner, and he missed it and hit his pad. Like he missed it. And I'm like,
he missed.
Holy smokes. Like all of a sudden, look, guys are human. Like they can say, oh, everybody handles pressure well.
Or,
man, when it's starting to feel like an elephant sitting on you, mistakes get made. And so, just like I said, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Hyman, it's Reinhardt, Verhage, Barkov, Montour, Tkachuk. They've all been really quiet.
Yeah.
So it's a hard time of year, but I guess that's why one team wins. Right?
Conn Smythe target change for you?
Connor now? I think it's, honestly, I think it's over.
I'm with you, and I'm getting pushback on that. I'm not 100% with you.
It's for the best player of the playoffs.
Yeah.
By the way, he's got the most assists in the history of the game in a playoff series.
Yeah.
Or in a playoff year. Of course, the next three are Gretzky, but it's like he's got 42 points.
Yeah.
I understand the contributions of Bobrovsky. Terrific. Barkov, terrific. I don't have a ballot. Those are my second and third players.
I'm with you.
It's McDavid's Conn Smythe. He's been, I don't want to turn this into Connor McDavid's podcast, but my God, he's been
hard not to.
Unbelievable in this. And somebody told me this, another management person. They said, halfway through game four, I got a text and they said, the beast is unleashed. And I was like, maybe. And then now back-to-back 4-point games.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's not like two games in November. Right? Like this, it's, so to me, the Conn Smythe is, I have McDavid and he's like a horse in the Derby. He's starting to pull away on the backstretch here.
Excellent. All right. Those are our headlines brought to us by Tim Hortons. Thank you.
It's happy hour at Tim's. Try the new Tiramisu Cold Brew, steeped cold for 16 hours for a bold yet smooth coffee taste. Get a medium for only $3 from 2 to 8 p.m.
Our interviews on Rain Dreg are brought to us by Canadian Club, 1858 Original, the flagship whiskey for Canadian Club, where it all began, aged over 3 years in oak barrels before being bottled, and the result, as you know, is the smoothest possible flavor. It's spicy, it's zesty, there's hints of rich oak and sweet vanilla. That is Canadian Club, 1858. I think we have enough time for at least one Ask Rain Dreg.
Oh, you're anything the clock keeper. You're the clock keeper. I mean, I just follow you around.
Okay. So you can send us your questions. We're running out of time here, Ray. We're in the home stretch of the Rain Drakes Hockey Podcast before we go into hiatus. We'll have to discuss our scheduling moving forward.
Well, here, but you know, it's Ryan's really, you know, Rashog is, you know, the big leader here and all that. He's really interested in the numbers at the start of the show. So we're at 75, and we'll have to check with Ryan and see what number we need to get to.
Jeez, what if we have to hit 80?
Well, I don't know, but he's going to tell us. I mean, because he's really interested in it.
Nobody cares. Oh, see, that's him. That's him, his voice. He can't come on camera because there's lots of reasons why he shouldn't be on camera.
I'm not.
Nobody cares.
Oh, you know what I noticed there in that quick little appearance? Did you see that Got Your Back hat?
Oh, merchandise. Yes. Yeah. Got Your Back, which is the flagship of the empire here, has all kinds of merchandise, pens, shirts, caps.
Again, I don't know if you noticed there, Drakes, but like on that hat, he's got it in the left corner because it's kind of, you know, like square, the head.
Yeah.
The hat squares up like that. It's like a billboard.
It's also, it's a, like a snapback too. And he's got it on the last possible setting. He's got like an enormous melon.
The thing's like an office garbage can if you flip it over.
All right. One question and ask Ray Drakes anything. Ooh, yeah. It's from Ron in Fort Saskatchewan. It says, hey guys, love the show. So cool having both of you guys on the road with a cup final. Ron doesn't care about my travel issues.
No, he does not.
So here's the question. If Leon Draisaitl wins a Stanley Cup this year, does the value of his contract go up significantly? Or is an accomplishment like that more about the team and less about any one individual's overall value?
I think
winning a cup matters, but I don't think it matters much.
I don't think he's
going to demand.
Whatever he's going to ask for, he's already asking for it. Right? Okay. Like it's, I don't think a team is going to say, okay, you won or lost the Stanley Cup final. I don't think the Oilers are going to say you either won or lost the Stanley Cup final and you didn't score a goal. That means $1.5 million less. Like, you know, it's 2 weeks. It's the most important 2 weeks, sure. But
yeah,
Leon's value is already established. It's just that now they got to get together on what both sides agree on the value is. And it's not the value on the team. It's the value of the percentage of the cap you can pay him.
Sure.
And that's it. It's a cool question, but I don't think in my mind, I don't think it matters anything else other than to your legacy down the road.
Well, we are going to chew on this one, this topic that is, because as soon as the cup gets handed out, you're eyeballing July 1st when the Oilers can extend Leon Draisaitl going into the final year. And if his preference is to wait it out, then it's just ripple effect storylines. All right, can the Oilers afford to take the risk of having him go into the final year of his contract, play out that final year, and potentially have him walk as an unrestricted free agent? So it's arguably the biggest story of the offseason.
They've done a good job of keeping two real major stories kind of bubble under the surface in Edmonton. One is Draisaitl, which is the most enormous one. And number two is who's going to be negotiating that contract for the Oilers.
Who's the GM?
Because Ken Holland's deal runs out at the end of the month. And I don't even know the answer to this. I don't know if you do. Is like, has any GM gone to the Stanley Cup final and then not been back?
And then bolted?
I don't know.
I'd have to give that some thought. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
You know.
Yeah.
Those are like two huge stories that are for another day because this series has either 2 days or 5 days left in it. And that's it.
And furthermore, and I'm not, this isn't inside information, I am wondering what Columbus is doing with their coach, right? I mean, you know, Donnie Waddell wants experience, so people are looking at Todd McClellan. Dean Evason's name is in there. Jeff Blashill's name is in there. Jay Woodcroft's name is in there. Glenn Gullitson's name is in there, but out of respect, everybody's kind of just keeping it private. You know, he's got business to do. Yep. So it'll be interesting. Yeah, there's definitely changes ahead in Oiler territory. All right, buddy. We've chewed up the better part of 40 plus minutes here on the Ryan Riggs podcast. So you need to get packed.
Oh, no, I don't. Yeah, not yet.
Oh, you're packed already?
No, I'm not packed. I'm coming for one day. I'm coming back. And so there's a game. What day is today, by the way?
Today's Thursday, right?
Okay. So the game is Friday, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going from here. I'm going to make sure everyone's straightened away for the morning. Tammy's got to go into the office to work, and I'm going to the golf course.
Oh, good for you.
And I'm going to hit some balls, and I'm going to play nine holes. And then I'm going to turn around and come back and pack. I got a flight later tonight to Edmonton. The game's going to be tomorrow night. And then I'm flying back home in the morning, Saturday morning. And I'm either staying for the summer or I've got an 11 p.m. flight on Saturday night to connect through and get to Fort Lauderdale. So I don't know. I'm here at home, and I got some wedges to flip into the air and see what they look like.
So let's just quickly walk through what packing looks like. One suit. So you've got one suit, one dress shirt, one tie.
Yeah.
You've got your dress shoes. You'll wear whatever you're wearing, your casual attire to fly.
Yep. You'll see that tomorrow.
Yeah. Which you'll also wear to fly home the following day. So really all you're bringing is that one suit, change of filter, and a toothbrush, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Because you don't need a hairbrush.
Well, no, I don't. It's really quite easy. I haven't had a hairbrush in 10 years. I had some guy send me a message, and he goes, "Hey, buddy, either fly to Turkey or take it to the wood." It was awesome. Wow. It was awesome. So I sent him a note back. I go, "Look, I'm considering like a really short zip, but I'm going to have to wait till the summer for that. I'll give it a good run." And he's like,
apparently there's a place in Calgary that does a remarkable deal. You don't have to go to Turkey anymore.
Oh, is that
I'm not going to mention the name of this person, but he's a pretty successful businessman here in Edmonton, who I think may have had some work done in Calgary.
Oh, is that the guy Ryan's talking about going to see?
I've got an appointment next week.
We're all trying to get to the end. We're all But when that guy
I could donate some of mine. It'd be gray, but I could donate some.
You could, or you could also get it off your back too. That would be great.
Hey, there you go. Ask Rain Drinks Anything, brought to you by Manscaping. Yeah,
there we go.
All right, buddy.
By the way,
have fun today.
I do have to say, it is for a series that felt lifeless and dead and over. Man, it has become so interesting. It is
It's been fun.
I know there's always the same, you know, people bitching and complaining about how long the season is. It's too long, by the way. It's too long.
Yeah.
This is phenomenal theater right now. Is. And if the Oilers can pull off game six, you know who they should have at the start of game six?
Like a former player?
Yeah. There's only one guy they should have for game six.
Interesting.
Only one
who,
guy.
Wayne?
No.
No.
Fernando Pisani.
He was there the other day.
Yeah, show the highlight of him scoring in game six and sending us all back to Raleigh.
Yeah.
Like,
that wasn't as amusing back then.
No, but I'm just saying, Fernando has such a community connection.
Yeah, like he does.
That goal is an icon goal.
Yeah.
Show the goal on the board, that place will erupt, and then show him in the stands. Although that place doesn't need any more to erupt. I'll leave you on this. I usually wear one ear can on my headset. In Edmonton, I wear two.
Yeah, to protect your ears.
I can't hear my producer. I'm like, it's like Charlie Brown's teacher. It's like too loud.
There were two ovations. The hockey ops people in Edmonton do terrific work. It was neat seeing Mike Smith there the other night.
Yeah.
But when Zach Cassian, who, by the way, is scouting for the Oilers right now, right? He's kind of branching off a little bit. When he came out onto the concourse you know, during a break. Oh, that crowd just loved it. And then, of course, you had Messier, who's with ESPN, and that never gets old.
Well, Alfonso
Chiclets,
Alfonso Davies, who's down at the Copa thing. Like, they had some good guys there. And, you know, oh, by the way, I want to give one quick shout out.
Yeah.
The Corey, because I don't know if it got, I picked it up in the game because I'm standing right there. Corey Perry's goal the other night.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the tail end of the power play, and everybody's all mesmerized by that brilliant freaking escape rush that McDavid made and how he got his way through.
Perry backdoor, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was at the end of the power play. The Oilers were making a change on that side of the ice. So Nurse, who's sitting literally right beside me, like I could reach out and grab his jersey, he's yelling down at Corey Perry. Perry's yelling down at Nurse because they're not sure who's going to go. And Nurse yells at Perry, go, Pears, you go.
Wow.
And so if Nurse jumps on the ice, there's no goal because there's nobody on the back door. Perry jumps on the ice, skates 12 feet, turns right, and goes to the back post. So that goal is on that decision between those two guys yelling down the bench at each other. And so Nurse was yelling, go, Pears, go. And he jumped on and scored. It was a third assist there. Yeah, it was a remarkable piece of the game that nobody noticed. I mentioned it on our broadcast. Nobody else would have seen it or heard it.
Wow.
I just happened to be standing there. And yeah, I will say,
that's awesome.
That is when people ask me, why do you like to stand there? That's it.
That's why.
That's it. It might happen once a year or once every 6 months. That was a critical piece.
That's gold. That's fantastic. I love that stuff. All right, buddy. Well, get a little bit of downtime here this afternoon, and then we'll. If I don't see you later today, being Thursday, then we'll hook up at some point tomorrow.
Yep. We'll catch it up in Game 6. It's on.
Yeah.
Enjoy it, folks. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you between Game 6 and 7.
Yes, and thank you to our sponsors who continue to support Ray and Dregs, our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, and Tim Hortons. And thank you for listening, for rating, for sharing the pod, and following us on the Ray and Dregs YouTube channel, as you always do. Until next time, enjoy Game 6 and stay safe, everybody.
Oh, by the way, Game 7, if it's necessary. It just might not be.